Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast12. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast12 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast12. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Welcome to Students Incorporated. I'm your host, Mr. Jason. Join me weekly as my students and I bring you content that's informative, positive, fun, and uplifting. This podcast is created and produced with the help of students from the International Community School of Bangkok. In today's episode, we'll be discussing the topic of social media and how it can relate to student identity. I'm joined by co-hosts Josiah and Proud, and we've invited special guests, Mrs. Amber and Mr. Luke, to help us break down this topic and hear their perspective as educators. But before we get into our first segment with Mrs. Amber, let's hear our quote of the day and get some headline news.
Hey everyone, Josiah here. Our quote of the day comes from Brené Brown. She said, "Social media has given us this idea that we should all have a posse of friends, when in reality, if we have one or two really good friends, we are lucky." Her comment reflects how social media creates a misleading perception of friendship. Social media typically exposes us to content that includes a posse or a big group of friends together, and it gives the illusion that we should all have a big group of friends. In reality, the quote argues that a few good friends are far more valuable than having a large group. This perfectly showcases the difference between quality and quantity when it comes to friendship and how social media affects that. And that's our quote of the day. Now onto some headline news.
Thank you for our quote of the day. So for our headline news segment on social media and identity, we found three recent studies that show just how complicated this topic is. Our first headline explores the positive side. According to a new report from the Mayo Clinic, when used correctly, social media can be a powerful and positive tool for building identity. The researchers point out that for many teens, especially those from marginalized communities or with niche interests, it can be hard to find like-minded peers in their immediate physical world. These online platforms can provide a crucial safe space to connect with others who truly share their experiences. This fosters a powerful sense of belonging, helps validate their identity, and can lead to strong, supportive friendships that might never have existed otherwise. But of course, there's a darker side to the digital world. Our next headline comes from a study published in the World Journal of Advanced Research and Reviews, and it points to the significant harm social media can inflict on a person's identity. The research focuses on the highly curated and often unrealistic versions of life we constantly see in our feeds. This creates what the study calls a culture of comparison. We're no longer just keeping up with the Joneses. We're keeping up with thousands of them, all posting their most perfect filtered moments. The study suggests that this endless comparison can lead to a serious decline in self-worth, a rise in anxiety, and for some, profound identity confusion as the gap between their real life and the perfect online life widens. So, if it can be good and it can be bad, what's the deciding factor? That brings us to our final headline, which comes from a comprehensive review by the NCBI, the National Center for Biotechnology Information. Their research suggests the impact of social media isn't about the platform itself, but how we engage with it. The key difference is between being an active participant versus a passive consumer. The review found that actively participating, meaning creating posts, commenting, messaging, and joining supportive online communities, can be hugely beneficial for helping to create a positive sense of self. In contrast, passively scrolling for hours and constantly comparing yourself to others without even interacting is far more likely to lead to those negative outcomes we just talked about. So the big takeaway here seems to be that the power, for better or for worse, is really in our thumbs.
The final headline from the news segment is the perfect launch pad for our main discussion today. It shows that the power, for better or worse, is in our hands, or in our thumbs. It makes me think about how much has changed. When I was in high school, much of my school identity was shaped in the hallways, at the lunch table, and on the basketball court. When the bell rang, I went home, and for the most part, my social life was put on pause until the next day. But for teens today, the school hallways are digital, the lunch table is a group chat, and identity is being shaped 24/7 on a screen, with a rule book that's being written and rewritten in real time. This isn't just a small generational shift, it's a massive global one. According to the latest Digital 2025 report from Data Reportal, there are now over 5.2 billion social media users worldwide. So the core question we're exploring is this: what happens when that digital identity starts to feel more important or even more real than our physical one? That's the core question we're exploring today. And to help us understand it, we'll be hearing from two leaders in education. First, we're pleased to welcome high school principal, Mrs. Amber. Later in the show, we'll be joined by the school headmaster, Mr. Luke. Leading this first conversation will be our student co-host, Josiah and Proud. Josiah, why don't you get us started?
All right, welcome to the show, Ms. Amber. We're so grateful that you could join us. To start, could you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself and what the role of a high school principal looks like in the big year of 2025?
Sure. My name is Amber Quick, and I'm the high school principal here at ICS Bangkok. This is year 8 for me at ICS, and I love being here. My husband is a mental health counselor, and we have 4 boys. Our oldest graduated from university and is a 4th grade teacher here this year. Our second son is in university, and our littles, who are not very little anymore, are now in grades 9 and 7. Also, I would like you to know I'm a Students Incorporated superfan, and I'm still waiting for a t-shirt that displays this. Automatic A in the class. If you can get this action this year, Josiah, I'm counting on you.
I am sure that one day we will get a shirt. I am hoping that I also get a shirt. I don't know if we will get a shirt, but we will work on that for you, Miss Amber.
No problem. So I've been working in international schools in Hong Kong and Thailand now for almost 17 years, and then 8 years in the U.S. before that. And one thing that I love is I've had the privilege of knowing many of my students since they were in middle school and then getting to watch them graduate. So that was the case in the U.S., in Hong Kong, and here in Thailand. So that long journey with students, to me, is one of the best parts of being a teacher and a principal, because it lets me not just see academic growth, but also discover like who they are, what they care about, the people that they become. And what I love about this role is the chance to walk alongside teens during such a formative season of life, helping them grow not only academically, but also in character, resilience, identity. So just like growing up has changed, being a principal in 2025 is quite different than even 10 years ago. You know, we're not just overseeing classes and exams, but we're thinking a lot about these topics of student well-being, mental health, how technology and social media are shaping this generation. And much of my role, I would say, is helping students, parents, and teachers navigate these changes together so that students can thrive online, but also in real life. So in 2025, I would say that the role of a principal is really about holding the big picture together. Of course, academics, university prep, that's all super important, right? But just as important are questions along the lines of social media and technology use, like how do we keep our students healthy in all aspects of life, as well as in the digital era? What is our role with technology and social media at school? How do we help students balance social media with real friendships? How do we create a school culture where students feel safe, confident, supported? Those are some of the challenges that I spend much of my day thinking about, and it's why conversations like this one today, I think, are so important. I don't believe that there's any perfect answer out there. I don't think that there's one right answer, but I do think that there's people that are courageous enough to try some things in hopes of really a healthier future for your generation, as kind of cringy as that sounds. For me, the heart of the job is helping students become grounded, resilient young people in a world that is constantly changing.
Thank you. It's clear that as the world has evolved, your job as a principal has evolved as well, and it evolves alongside each other with all the social media and new technologies. On our topic of social media and identity, we'd love your perspective. From where you stand as a principal, what are some of the best practices for how a school should approach social media, especially during the school day?
So when I think about my job as principal, it's not just managing classes, but it's walking with teens to figure out who they are, like I mentioned before. And honestly, social media has become one of the biggest influences in that process. Sometimes it's positive, but quite often I would say it's challenging. As a principal, I've seen how phones and social media can disrupt learning and relationships. And I will reference work being done by Jonathan Haidt several times throughout this interview. He wrote a book called The Anxious Generation, and it's fantastic, and I would recommend it to anyone. So if you hear me say anything that sounds smart, it's probably because he said it first. And one thing he points out is that childhood has shifted in just one decade, like from play-based and in-person to what he calls a phone-based childhood. This is a crazy fast shift, and it's a dramatic one. It also happens that this shift has tracked really closely with spikes in teen anxiety, depression, especially after 2012, which happened to be when social media and smartphones really came on the scene for most people. So at school, I think the best practice is creating clear and consistent boundaries. This was kind of my viewpoint when I was a teacher. It's my viewpoint now. I think it's accurate for everything, certainly including technology use. And it's really important to me. And I hope it's felt with students. I never want a student to feel caught off guard. I hope that by communicating clearly and consistently, it's more easy to accept and understand. For example, we stipulate that ninth graders use only school-owned devices during the day rather than personal devices. We don't allow devices outside of the classroom during the school day without teacher permission. These aren't, as much as they feel like restrictions, they aren't intended to just be restrictions, but there's reasons behind them. For instance, it reduces distractions, but it also gives students back the space to talk face-to-face and solve problems and build friendships without this constant pool of notifications. Does it solve all problems? No, absolutely not. However, the results have been hugely positive. We've saw decreased numbers across the high school for phone use during the day. Parents and teachers are more on board. One of my greatest joys is seeing students out at lunch playing volleyball, or seeing kids play a card game together, or seeing students just talk face to face. It's so good. So the key to frame these policies is to frame them not as punishment. I hope they don't come across that way, but as protection. I want students to understand we're trying to help you focus and helping you connect with real people in the real world in ways that really matter. So I think when schools communicate that clearly, parents and students are more open to it.
So thank you, Miss Amber. I mean, I totally agree with that because I feel like I have a really strong bond with all of my friends because we get to interact with each other during breaks, and no phone policy definitely helps a lot. So I have a follow-up question that's a bit broader. So from what you see with students, has social media ultimately made it harder or easier for them to figure out who they are?
That's a good question. I would say overall, it's made it harder. I think adolescence is a time when identity forms through trial and error in real life. This is the time of your life when you try out roles, you test limits, you learn through face-to-face feedback. This is all very normal. This is how people grow up. And social media tends to short-circuit this process. I cannot imagine if social media had been around when I was a teenager. It would have been a disaster. I'm horrified to think what I would have posted, what would have been seen, you know, just like everything. I don't know. I think all of us that grew up without it are hugely grateful that no one was there to document that time of our lives on film, to have it be shared widely. I mean, this is a terrible time in life to judge someone, honestly. These are years for making mistakes, for taking risks, for failing, for learning. But those things don't come without a mess. And that's okay. That's normal. But I do feel like teens today don't have the freedom to mess up without fear of it being known, criticized, posted, shared. And that's a heavy burden to carry. So students and adults, honestly, we often present this curated version of ourselves online, right? We maybe are seeking likes or validation or comments, whatever, rather than wrestling with who we really are. And algorithms that are built into social media can push people more quickly into very narrow interests or these kind of extreme viewpoints before people have had a chance to explore more broadly and find out who they actually are as a person and what they actually believe. So to me, it's such an unfair fight that you guys face. Millions of dollars at the disposal of tech and app companies that are intentionally made to create distractions are designed to be addictive by producing constant bursts of dopamine to your developing brains. And It actually makes me super angry. I hate that for you. That said, I've seen the positives too. Some students find communities online that affirm a talent or an interest that they don't find locally, maybe something in robotics or coding or a music genre. But I would say, in my opinion, those cases are fewer. The majority struggle more with identity formation because the online world asks people to perform and not to grow.
That is a great point. Many students do feel that constant pressure to perform or compare themselves to people who they think are better than them online. In your view, how does this culture of comparison impact a teenager's identity while it's still forming?
So I would say that this is probably one of the biggest challenges. Social media intensifies what's called upward social comparison, especially for girls. They're constantly seeing other people's highlight reels, which makes them feel less than in appearance, maybe popularity, lifestyle.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
And that's directly tied to rising rates of depression and body image struggles. Again, I can't imagine how I would have navigated this as a teen, but I assure you it would not have been pretty. For boys, I think the comparison may look different. It might be more about status and gaming or online communities, or porn, to be honest, but the effect is similar. Identity is shaped by external measurement and comparison rather than internal values and worth. I've seen some really hurtful and cruel online conversations and choices made online. And I'm sure that's only a fraction of what's out there, you know, and it really is heartbreaking. Those words and images are shared and they're weaponized and they can act like they're a measure for someone's worth. And there's a pretty steep price to pay for mistakes made online, honestly. When that kind of thinking and decision making start to seep into everyday life, it can undermine the ability to explore identity in healthy ways that teenagers need.
So that's really true. I feel like all of us compared with each other, even though we think we are not, but like deep down we know we are. So building on that, what specific concerns do you have as a principal when it comes to how social media affects students' mental health, their friendships, or like their self-image?
Yeah, so I think one of my biggest concerns would be the overall rise in anxiety. Data shows that rates of depression, self-harm, loneliness, they spiked around the time when smartphones and social media, especially social media, became universal from about 2012 and after. All of the data shows this. And I do see that play out in school. I do feel like students today are more anxious. They're more fragile. They're less resilient than even maybe 10 years ago. And this is a worldwide trend, right? It's not just specific to ICS or Thailand. Like, this is happening everywhere. And I think, too, another thing that can become really fragile is friendships. So a conflict maybe that starts in a group chat or on Instagram doesn't stay online forever. Eventually, it may come into school the next day. It can take over. And I think before we put some of the tech policies into place, we saw fewer students hanging out in person during breaks or lunch because they were on their phones. And that loss of in-person interaction really does matter for identity and well-being. So we decided it was something that was important enough to prioritize. And then maybe my last concern would be self-image, that social media encourages constant self-presentation. Students worry about how they look in photos, how they sound in videos. And I think for a teenager who's still forming a sense of self, that pressure can be really overwhelming.
These are definitely some serious concerns about how you can get forced into having to create an image of yourself when you're still figuring out that image. So let's flip it a little bit. What are some positive ways that you see students using social media to actually build their identity and find their voice and grow their confidence instead of losing it in the process?
Yeah, for sure. There are positives, and I do want to be clear about that. I'm not like anti phones or anti-social media. I know at school we have to take kind of one stand, right? But I do think there's a difference between maybe passive scrolling and active creating. So passive scrolling tends to harm well-being, but when students are creating, they can grow. So I've seen students use Instagram or TikTok to showcase their art or music or clubs. That's awesome. Others have launched small businesses or these awareness campaigns. For example, we had a group of students that used social media to promote an environmental project, and it gave them a real sense of agency. It was awesome. It was incredible. Your class uses your Instagram page for fun promotion ideas. I love that, right? You have a whole team on it. So social media can also provide safe spaces for some students, especially if it's a teen that's in a marginalized group. Finding a supportive online community can be life-changing and powerful. These are really positive ways that it can be used. So the challenge isn't to say all social media is bad, right? But help students learn to use it intentionally, creating, advocating, connecting meaningfully instead of simply consuming.
And that's a wonderful place to end this part of our conversation on a note of hope and positive action. The idea that students are using these tools for community and inspiration is good. Thank you so much for your time and insight, Mrs. Amber. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Mr. Luke. You're listening to the Students Incorporated podcast. Social media in 2025 is evolving fast. Short-form video continues to dominate, while AI is shaping how content is created and personalized. Shopping is moving directly into apps through social commerce, and authentic communities built on user-generated content are more valuable than ever. Social platforms are also doubling as search engines, making social SEO an essential skill. Success this year for both brands and creators comes from authenticity, niche communities, and strong partnerships. But social media isn't just about entertainment anymore. It's also shaping education and student identity. Many students now learn through quick explainer clips and tutorials, and AI-driven feeds often mirror what you study or care about. How you present yourself online matters more than ever. By building authentic communities, sharing your own content, and engaging in positive online communities, you can use social media not just to connect, but to grow, learn, and strengthen your digital presence as a student. Identity matters, and so does authenticity and transparency. So stay real to yourself, both offline and online, and grow in the process. And we are back with our second part. Thanks for sticking with us. In the first half, Mrs. Amber gave us some insight from her perspective as a high school principal of the day-to-day impact of social media. Now for this second segment, we'll get to hear from Mr. Luke, the headmaster of the school. We are still on the topic of social media and identity. Proud, go ahead and get us started with this segment.
Mr. Luke, thank you for being here. To start, could you share a bit about your role and how you approach the topic of social media and student identity throughout the semesters while the students are under your care?
Oh, thanks, Proud. It's good to be here. I'm excited, as always, to be on the Students Incorporated podcast. I am one of your subscribers, and I listen to every episode, so excited for a new season. When it comes to my role, I guess I don't specifically think much about my role and how it directly relates to social media, but a big part of my role is caring not just about academics, but also students as a whole person. We care about students and who students are becoming. That's something that's on all the posters in every room across the campus. The reality is that social media is a huge part of how students shape their identity now. We cannot deny that fact, and we can't deny the fact that people are being influenced, for better or worse, by social media. And that wasn't the case when I was in school. That wasn't the case even 12, 15 years ago. So from a whole school approach, I would say that I try to approach it with curiosity rather than fear. Instead of just saying, be careful or don't do that or just no, I would tell students, I would tell you guys to ask yourself, how is this shaping who you are? Here at ICS, we talk about identity being rooted not in likes or followers, but in deeper truths like character, values, and for many of us, our faith. My hope is that we give students a safe space to think to question and reflect and not just follow rules.
Thank you. With so many different cultures represented in our student body, what are some ways that the school can create a shared understanding about digital citizenship?
Oh, that's a great question. I think that's really one of the beautiful things about ICS. We've got this amazing kind of mosaic of cultures, backgrounds, and perspectives that really make us a unique community. But I think that no matter where you're from, respect and kindness are traits and values that everyone likes and appreciates. I think creating a shared understanding by focusing on things that we can all agree on, like the importance and value of honesty, integrity, empathy, and accountability, while also listening to different perspectives that students bring. For example, I think about what students consider private or things that are what is respectful can vary from culture to culture. So having those conversations together helps us build a common language when it comes to things like digital citizenship.
I totally agree with that part, since like our school is so internationally and there's so many kids from different countries. It's like that's a really great point about shared values. So what are some ways our diverse parent community can best partner with the school to support their children in this area?
Yeah, I like that you guys use the word partner in your question. That's really great because I think partnership is key. That's something that's on posters all around the school. We have that there as well, right? A partnership with parents. And I think it is important because when parents and the school are saying the same things, I think students hear it more consistently. They hear it more clearly. Now, I would encourage parents to be attentive listeners and ask their kids about what's happening online. Not just monitoring what's happening online, but trying to understand their kids' world. I would say that parents need to ask their kids real questions about what media they're consuming and ask them what they like and why they like it. And obviously, and this is a hard one for me as a parent as well, but I would say that when parents model healthy habits, like putting our phones down at the dinner table, or when we're trying to talk to our kids, and or just showing balance in our digital lives in general, I think that speaks volume. That speaks volumes to our kids and others as well. And it's hard to tell your kid to put down a phone while you're holding a phone in your hand at the time. So,
looking ahead, we're going to start seeing new partners with new technologies like AI and others. What are some ways our school can prepare students to be responsible digital citizens locally and globally?
Yeah, that's a great question, Josiah. I think AI is definitely changing things rapidly. The challenge isn't just teaching students how to use the tools. You guys are figuring that out on your own at a speed that is way faster than what us old people are capable of. So that's great. I do think the challenge for us as a school is to help you guys to figure out how to use these tools wisely. Now, that means getting students to be able to ask questions like, am I thinking critically about what's real and what's not? Or am I using this tool to genuinely learn and grow or just to take a shortcut? Or am I using this tool to enhance my own thinking and creativity, or am I letting it replace them? I think our role as a school is to help students build those habits of integrity, character, wisdom, and discernment in order to use the available tools to boost our creativity and productivity. Because the reality is that those character traits will matter more and be around longer than any app or social media platform. When you're old like me, the apps and everything will change, but you will have integrity, character, wisdom, and discernment.
I really agree with that because like that preparation is so vital. So a huge part of that has to be students' well-being. So our next question is, from your perspective, what are some positive and negative effects you've observed regarding social media and students' health?
Yeah, I know. Look, when you get old people like me talking about social media, oftentimes it's just bash, 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 and it's all negative stuff. I do think there are some positive things. And I think the easy answer is always going to be that, oh, social media helps us stay connected. That's what many of you would say, at least. And I do know that's a real thing, but I've also felt like it's a pseudo version of connectedness. And I think most students would actually agree if you really stop and think about it. But I do think it's a way to share creativity, to share things that you've created, artwork or music or writing. It's a great way to be inspired or to inspire others. I think it's a great way to raise awareness about causes that you care about, or for you to personally raise your awareness about other causes, right? Now, social media can give people a voice that they wouldn't otherwise have, right? So you guys can reach an audience of people that you would have never had before. Those are some of the good things. On the flip side, I think the kind of the comparison trap is 100% real and 100% damaging. I mean, I think we see students and just people in general measuring themselves against perfectly curated images or videos of others. And I think when you guys, or when anyone really stops and thinks about it, we know that it's not real, but it still has an impact on us, right? And I think with all this kind of new research coming out and showing us that this comparison with unreal things can feed anxiety, loneliness, depression, lead to a sense of inadequacy. I think the key is knowing that social media is a highlight reel, not the whole story, right? And that your worth isn't determined by it. And honestly, your worth shouldn't even be impacted by it. I think that students know this deep down again, but it doesn't prevent us from getting caught in this comparison game. There are entire market, entire groups of marketing strategists sitting around designing things like this to make you compare yourself to others, to make you want to be more like someone you're seeing online. We know that. That's 100% true. And we just have to remember this when we see things online.
So thank you so much for that insight, Mr. Luke. I can say that everyone can agree on that part, that it's both impactful in both ways of negativity and like positivity. So we really have to use it in a good way. And as we wrap up this segment, we like to ask you for advice. So what is some advice that you could give students and parents who are also learning to navigate the complexities of school, social media, and their online and offline identities?
Yeah, great question, Proud. I don't think this is something that is easy to do, so I don't take it lightly. But I guess my advice would be to be intentional. I really think for students it means asking yourself, does this online version of me match who I really want to be? I think we have to understand that we are being influenced by what we consume and make choices with that in mind. For parents, I think it's about creating rhythms of conversation and trust, so the kids feel safe to talk about what they're experiencing both on or offline. And I think just for people in general, both our students and parents, we cannot underestimate the importance of real human-to-human relationships, interactions, and community. The friendships, skills, values, and character you build in real life are what are going to give you the grit to navigate the world well, whether online or in person. I don't think many people would say the same thing about your online life. At the end of the day, social media is a tool, and it can either shape you or you can choose to shape how you use it. That would be the advice that I would give.
Mr. Luke, thank you for that simple and clear advice about how to look at social media. We know you're busy and have a full schedule each day, so thanks again for stopping by the studio today. And that brings us to the end of our episode on social media and identity. What a fascinating and important conversation. We learned that the impact of these platforms isn't just good or bad. It truly depends on how we engage with them. The key is to be an active, thoughtful participant rather than a passive consumer. Mrs. Amber gave us a powerful look at the day-to-day reality students face, while Headmaster Mr. Luke provided a vision for how the whole community can work together to build a healthy digital culture. A huge thank you to both Mrs. Amber and Mr. Luke for sharing their time and expertise with us. And a special thank you for our student co-host Josiah and Proud for leading insightful interviews. This has been the Students Incorporated podcast. We'll see you next time. And as always, this podcast would not be possible without the hard work and support of our international student production team.
All music and sound effects are courtesy of Pixabay.com, a vibrant community of creatives sharing copyright-free images, videos, and music.
And we're signing off until next time.
We are Students Incorporated, because your voice matters.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.